Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier. It's my pleasure to be with you for the next 3 hours. Between 2 and 3, we're going to have Bree coming. She's going to tell us about a pet calendar, but it's not a... Well, the calendar is probably something out of this world, but she's raising money for a young guy, Billy, who's got some Well, it's a not a well-known disease, and she's trying to raise some money for research and to help him out. So it'd be great to hear about that. And between 1 and 2, we've got Talia. She's from Yarra Valley Legal. It's part of Choice Tune. She'll come in. She'll tell us a bit about her life. And she's also picked out some songs that have had an impression on her life. We'll find out all about Talia. But before we get... Well, as we're getting started now, we've got Frank, and he's with the Historic Commercial Vehicle Club. Now, there's a couple of reasons we're talking about him. First of all, we want to know a bit about the club, but also on the 9th of November, they've got a big day out at Yarra Glen Racecourse. I've seen some photos of the past, and they're up on Facebook at the moment. I've just seen some. So, first of all, welcome, Frank.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks for having us here this afternoon.
Not a problem. Glad to have you. Now, Frank, first of all, I've got to ask you personally, what's your background? Why did you get involved with commercial vehicles?
Oh, well, I've always liked old trucks, and a good mate of mine was involved in the club at the time. He was president, and I just gravitated towards it, got dragged in, whatever term you want to use, and I've always had the odd truck here or there.
I was just going to ask you that. Have you got a truck at the moment?
I've got a few trucks, yeah, a few old trucks, an old Kenworth, an old Mitsubishi. I've never driven trucks in anger, so to speak. I mean, I used to do a few local deliveries, but I'm not one of these highway warriors that's run up and down the Hume Highway all their life.
So what do you attribute to the reason that you decided to get involved, and do you restore them yourself?
Yes, I employ one bloke, and that's all we do these days. We don't do restorations for other people. We just muck around with my vehicles. Yep. I have a reasonably extensive collection of cars as well as a few trucks.
Have you?
So that keeps us busy.
So I'll go back to my original question. What got you involved with old trucks?
As I said, I got dragged along because an old mate of mine...
The fact that you got into the club that you got the trucks. You didn't have a burning passion with a whole lot of trucks first.
No, not really. No, I'd have to say I didn't. The club and the membership came first, and then the
trucks.
Then the trucks, yeah.
All right, so let's just go back quickly because we're here to talk about the big day on Sunday, Sunday week. But what got you collecting cars then? If the cars were your first, and what was your first car you collected?
Well, the first car I collected, I started collecting old 107 Mercedes. So they were built between 72 and 86, 88, 89, right, something like that. And then I decided that all cars were nice, so I just started collecting all sorts
just
of cars.
Have you got...
So I'm a bit of a tragic in that respect.
Are you?
Absolutely.
Have you got a particular, in your collection, a particular car that you think, gee, I'm glad I got that one?
Absolutely. It's not what people would consider a collectible. It's not an old car. It's a 2004 Mercedes convertible with a twin turbo
V12. V12?
V12, yeah.
Gee, it'd move, wouldn't it?
It does, yeah. I remember taking my young godson for a run, and as we took the entrance to the freeway, I gave it a little bit of gas. And when we got back to the house, he said, Uncle Frank, because he calls me Uncle.
Yep.
He says, Uncle Frank, I think you hurt my tummy.
With that much pressure.
Yeah. It's a bit of fun.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't have gathered. So out of all those cars, and like you say, you've got the Mercedes and that, do you have a particular brand of car that you've got sort of more than one of?
Well, Mercedes I have more than one of, and Valiants. I have a fairly extensive collection of Chryslers of one sort or another.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
So I'll just ask you that, and then we'll move on. What got you into the Valiants?
Well, the Valiants is easier to answer. My first car was a VIP Valiant.
I thought you were just going to say
1968 VIP Valiant. Yep. So I bought it when it was about 6 or 7 years old, and I've kind of never drifted away, really, although I've had a variety of cars in between.
So have you still got that VIP?
Oh, God, no, no. So haven't got it, can't find one, can't replace it.
Can't you?
No, they're as rare as rocking horse poop.
Are they? No, mm. That's a bit sad, isn't it? Because I know some guys have been able to find a car that they had when they were young.
No, I found one very, very similar. It goes to the London show on the Wednesday nights when they have it there.
Which is starting this month.
This month, I believe, yeah. Yep. And every time I see him, I approach him and ask him if it's for sale yet, and he just shakes his head and said, not in your life. And he's younger than me, so it probably won't be in my life.
So it's probably never going to sell it.
That's probably right, yeah.
Well, and the problem is, you hear of a lot of regrets about cars where guys have been at a car show and they've been offered a silly amount of money, sold the car, and then 12 months later say, oh, I wish I had the car, not the money.
Oh, absolutely. And it's not only the regrets of selling, it's the regrets of not buying one when it's offered to you at the right price, and you think, nah, that's too expensive.
Yep.
And
yep.
Next week you turn around and realise what a deal you were.
I looked at an F.E. Holden. This is quite a number of years ago, and the guy wanted $8,000 for it. And I said, nah, too much. I'll give you $7,000. And it was on Facebook, and I went through Facebook the second time, and I said, I'll give you $7,000. Well, now if you could buy that car, you'd be paying $35,000. So,
oh, absolutely.
It's just where you are. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to start to talk about what's coming up.
When I was real small, about the only thing at all that interested me was something odd. All I wanted to do was kick a football or two and pull a big rig with a Kenworth down the road. Well, it took me quite a while to get a goal and make a mile, but I'm here to let you know it's A-OK. Because every Saturday I put my trucking gear away and I get out on that football field and play. Yes, I'm a hard-hot-driving.
Hard-hot-driving.
Game-surviving.
Game-surviving.
Highway-crawling.
Highway-crawling.
Name-calling.
Footballing.
Truck-driving man.
Truck-driving man.
Well, the kids in the street said I had 2 left feet and I'd never push a rig or kick a ball. And the teachers in the school told me I was just a fool who'd never amount to anything at all. But when I grew up and I won that football cup and I got a job driving across the land, the last laugh was mine and I'm doing real fine. I'm a football and truck driving man. Yes, I'm a hard, hard driving.
Hard, hard driving.
Game surviving.
Game surviving.
Highway crawling.
Highway crawling.
Name calling,
footballing,
truck driving man.
Truck driving man.
Now this life that I lead is the life that I need, and I wouldn't trade it for a pot of gold. If you'd like to be freewheeling like me, here's a few things that you ought to know. How to double your clutch and follow the rut. Learn how to back and lead the pack. Turn a big rig round with the ball to ground. Drive between the light poles just like kicking them goals. Get your semi to feel like it run the whole field. Change the gears real quick like a 60-yard kick. Make a diesel roar like the crowd when you score. You couldn't ask for more than to be a hard, hard driving.
Hard, hard driving.
Game surviving.
Game surviving.
Highway crawling.
Highway crawling.
Name calling. Footballing. Truck driving man. I'm a hard, hard driving.
Hard, hard driving.
Game surviving.
Game surviving.
Highway crawling.
Highway crawling.
Name calling. Footballing. Truck driving man.
Truck driving man.
Yes, I'm a hard, hard driving.
Hard, hard driving.
Game surviving.
Game surviving.
Highway crawling.
Frank, I knew we were going to do this interview, obviously, so I've put a few truck driving songs in this hour. So, if I said to you, it doesn't matter, money-wise or anything, what would be the car that you would particularly chase, and also a truck?
Ooh, a truck's hard, but the car's quite simple, really. Yeah. An AC Cobra, one of the very early original AC Cobras with the big V8 in it.
Not a replica or anything?
No, I don't want a replica.
Yep.
No, the replicas are too expensive for what they are, and the original is way too expensive for me to afford, so it's just going to be a pipe dream.
Yep.
In terms of trucks, look, I know it's going to sound really, really stupid, but I would really like a early mid 70s MAN with a pogo stick Road Ranger gearbox in it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so they were a fairly unique thing. They didn't sell a lot out here. Most of them either got scrapped or were rusted out heaps these days.
But, or had accidents.
Or had accidents, yep. So one of those would be a nice thing to take to the odd show.
That'd be all right.
Yeah.
So out of your trucks you've got, obviously that maybe they're not all registered, so are you taking a truck on Sunday week?
I probably will. I usually take an old Mitsubishi V8 prime mover and tow an old furniture pan behind it. And the furniture pan, instead of having furniture in it these days, just has a bed and a TV in it for me to sleep in.
Do you?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can sleep over there the night before, can you?
Yes, you can. Yeah, we have an arrangement with Yarra Glen Racecourse that anybody who comes in on Saturday afternoon can set up and stay the night in camp. We don't charge a fair entrance, and they're going to display the next day. We fix that up with Yarra Glen these days.
Yep.
And
with the truck that you're going to take over, are trailers readily available? Because I know you're going to tell me that some of the trucks are hard to get. What about the trailers?
No, trailers are a dime a dozen, particularly if you're looking for something like a Pantech. They seem to be available at auctions every month.
So with your trucks, like they're a particular year, they're 79 or whatever they are, do the trailers age or because the way I see them, they all look the same?
Well, they do. They do look very similar, particularly if you're looking at the fibre-reinforced plastic stuff, you know, for a pan.
Yep.
Or a trailer, an open-top trailer is an open-top trailer. Anything going back to the 70s is not much different to look at than a current one, although the technology in them is much, much different. You know, spring suspension, they all have airbags, the steel is much different, they're lighter weight. They're made much, much better.
Are they?
Well, absolutely.
Now, I've got a photo of my father, I've got a few photos of my father, but he used to drive a truck, and in the old days, all he had was, was a prime mover, and all they had was a big pole down the middle and the wheels across the back. Like, they didn't have the sides of it or anything like that. And he used to cart timber, so the timber was what kept the whole thing together. But, I mean, if that ever snapped, the wheels would just go off wherever.
Well, the pole didn't really matter. All it did was drag the back wheels along. And and timber jinkers today are still exactly the same. It's just a piece of RHS in the middle that connects the two, and it actually has a pin in the middle, so it folds, and they drag it, when it's empty, they drag it back up on top of the prime mover. And when they get into the bush, they pull the pin and let it stretch out, and then they put the timber on, and the chains between the logs, over the logs and onto the jinker, as they call it, is what actually holds the back wheels to the front of the truck.
Yeah, well, this thing was just, that's all it was a wooden pole, but you couldn't put it up because it was just rigid. It was just one pole. But I couldn't imagine them getting away with it. Oh, well, I suppose if it's metal, yeah.
They're doing exactly the same thing. They haven't evolved much except for they have automatic inflation systems so that they can air up and air down in the bush and things like that. There's very little difference between a jinker of 60 years ago as there is of today.
Just as made of metal rather than...
Yeah, just as made of metal. And obviously, as I said before, they're built with air suspension and things like that to road-friendly suspension, we call it, because it doesn't create so many potholes.
All right, so let's just go one more thing. The trucks have obviously evolved a hell of a lot compared to, say, a truck in the 50s, wasn't it? I mean, the truck in the 50s was just almost just a box, manual, no power steering, no nothing, did it? There was no air conditioning.
You only drive a truck of the 50s these days because you love it, because it's got a sentimental value.
Yep.
They are junk. when you compare them to anything this side of the 90s. In the 90s, trucks evolved into being fairly luxurious vehicles to drive in their own right. All the later stuff has ABS and they're all air conditioned. They now have standby air conditioners which run through the night so that the drivers, if they're on it, if they're doing two up, they actually have air conditioning in the bunk area. They've come a long, long way, and they need to. You know, if you're doing 12, 14 hours in a truck, it's bloody hard, Jacko.
And the other issue is, like, some of these guys are on the road, well, apart from on the road 5 days a week. I mean, I used to work for a company, and we had a place in Mount Gambier, and they'd go from there from Western Australia. So, I mean, you cover a lot of territory. You wouldn't want to be sitting out there with no air conditioning, no power steering, and no nothing, would you?
No, not at all. Look, there is a chap who's got a T-model Ford truck with a little box fan on the back. He calls himself Apples. Yeah. And there's another mate of mine who's got a 1927 International, which has got this funny little cab with no doors on it. And I have followed the T-model. Well, I passed the T-model. Yep. And he drove it all the way to Mount Gambier on one of our outings from Melbourne.
Gee, that'd be hard to go, wouldn't it?
And Trevor, I think, has driven his 1927 Inter, if I'm correct, on Hall on the Hume, which is an event that happens every second year, and he's driven it from Broadmeadows to Albury.
Fair.
That's a big effort.
That'd be hard to go,
wouldn't
it?
Yeah.
And also, I mean, the other issue too, the father, and I don't normally talk about my family, but just in context, the father used to have this, I think it was, well, he had a couple. One was an International, but one was a 52 Ford, I think. And they really only had a car motor in them. And I can remember him telling me that when he'd go up the Berwick Hill, he'd have his foot on the accelerator, his other foot pushing that foot down to try and get something out of it. Well, I mean, the trucks have got huge power now compared to those sorts of things, haven't they?
Absolutely, yeah. You don't see a truck these days with a petrol motor, but post-war...
Don't you? They're all diesels,
though. Oh, they're all diesels, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Post-war, it was all the old Lend-Lease stuff that was left over after the war ended. A lot of them, the Chevs had straight inline sixes. Fords, if they were lucky, had those flathead V8s. Yep. I mean, they were a good 110 horsepower, you know, but when you stick... Well, they were probably rated for 6 or 7 tonne and probably had carried 20 tonne
yep.
in most occasions.
Yep.
So they worked really hard,
yep.
really, really
and
hard.
And they were the same motor that was in the customer line, weren't they?
Absolutely.
So they're in a car,
yep.
and next minute ask them to pull 20 tonne.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yep.
Obviously it did work because that's what they did.
Yeah.
If you've ever had anybody on talk about the Matoa Stick Shed, which is in the Western District, they built that during the Second World War because they needed somewhere to store wheat.
Right.
And all the poles for it, and they're all about 40 feet long, tall, most of them either come out of the Dandenongs or the Otways.
Did they?
So you can imagine in the middle of the war with a few trucks that was left here, and they were dragging 40-foot trees from Melbourne across to Matoa.
She's having some job, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Going up the Pentlands and that would have been an interesting drive.
Oh, absolutely. I've got to take a quick break and then we're going to come back and we're really going to start talking about
the show. About the show.
Smell like the open road. trucks out here. Now trucks out for never made it home. They paid the ultimate sacrifice from all around our load. I stare on goodwill and pray I don't end up the same. Our life is on the road. Sometimes it's just like a game. Yeah. Our truck's our friend.
And if you're listening, I'm sure you'll love what we've been talking about, the old trucks, because Ivan is a listener and he used to drive the old, I'm not sure what sort of trucks he used to drive, but I know he's driven a lot of trucks over a long while, retired now. Anyway, the main reason we got Frank in, that the Historical Commercial and Vehicle Club have got a big show coming up on the 9th of November out at the Yarragon Racecourse. So, Frank, tell us what we're going to see when we get there and what's going to happen on the day.
Okay, so we've been running our display day, as we call it, has been running for many, many years, long before I was involved. We've been at Yarra Glen now for about 8 years, and whilst we prefer that it's all older vehicles, we do occasionally get a few more modern bits and pieces. So you'll get a smattering of small trucks, small old trucks. You'll get some semi-trailers. We normally end up with a really good display of buses.
Oh, yeah.
This year, our feature truck, we've gone to having a feature truck, and it'll be the Bedford. Now, Bedfords are a much maligned little truck, but they were a bit like the Grey Fergie. They made the country what it is back in their day.
Yep.
And we'll change that feature truck each year, but this year it's the Bedford.
Any particular year or just...
No, all Bedford. So yep. There hasn't been a Bedford around now since probably the very, very early 80s or maybe the late 70s. So they're all going to be at least 30 or 40 years old.
Yep.
And some of them will be back to... just post-war, probably.
And there's a green one lives up the highway here on the right-hand side as you're heading out towards Healesville. There's a green one in the front
yard. That belongs to Peter.
Does it?
Yep, Peter Lees, yeah. I'm sure that he'll have that along.
Yep.
So we've also invited the Vauxhall Car Club along because Vauxhall and Bedford is the... Vauxhall is the passenger car side of... Bedford, I suppose, or Bedford is the commercial side of Vauxhall, whichever way you want to look at it.
Yeah.
So we've got a few other attractions. I mean, we've got a face painter there. We'll have a petting zoo for the kids and a face painter for the kids. There'll be food on. We'll have a band playing for most of the day.
Yep.
We've also managed to get the SES to come along and do a display of cutting up a little medium-sized truck. They're going to... Yep. Show us how they would get into that, and it's pre-smashed, so they'll have fun with it.
Yep.
And we'll have a couple of trucks for a couple of hours where we'll have somebody standing by and the kids can crawl in them and crawl out of them and have a look around them. Yeah.
Frank, can I just go back a minute while we talk about these trucks? What sort of age, from what to what do you think will be there on Wednesday, on Sunday week?
I expect there'll be trucks there from the 20s all the way through to the 90s.
Do you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I've seen one getting around that's it's a semi-trailer. It's a Golden Fleece done up in their thing. Does that come to yours? It's a Golden Fleece colours. He's got the petrol tanker on the back.
I don't know that one particularly, specifically. There's a few of those vehicles liveried up. There's another one that I know belongs to an old mate, and he's got it in shell colours.
Yeah.
So yeah, they get around. That's what we do. That's what, you know, us old tragics do. We've got nothing better to do with our times, and obviously nothing better to do with our money. So we, instead of drinking it, we pour it into old trucks.
What sort of because a truck's cheaper to buy than old cars equivalent, or are they dearer?
No, you can buy a classic, for lack of a better word, old truck, fairly cheap. But getting it to the same standard as you would get a classic car to can cost you many, many more times.
Can it?
Oh, yeah.
Because I would have thought...
Parts are really hard to get.
I was going to say to you, because I would have thought with just a cabin and you haven't got the back seat and all that, you wouldn't as much work, but it's the cost of the parts, is it?
Well, it's cost of parts. It's cost of labour. I mean, it's a fairly... Yeah. If you're having the work done, it's a fairly specialist type thing. Tyres are worth an arm and a leg.
Are they?
Roadworthies to get them on the road, you know. A car roadworthy is worth $220 to $250 if the car's in good nick.
Yep.
If the truck's in equivalently good nick, it's going to cost you $1,000 because of the extra labour involved in taking wheels off and things like that for brakes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just everything's just exponentially more expensive.
Yep. Got to take a quick break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk more about 9th of November.
Machine on the radio.
Trucking, gonna have some fun. Keep trucking, music turning me on. Together with my girl in the sun. Trucking,
just keep trucking along. Rocking along with the band and digging the disco. My baby and I are moving on through the night. Rise in the morning, heading out anywhere you know.
Machine
on the radio.
Must keep moving, baby, can't stand still. Keep on, move on over the hill. Easy rolling down the other side. Trucking, baby, just let it ride. Trucking, gonna have some fun. Keep trucking, music turning me on. Together with my girl in the sun.
Trucking,
just keep trucking
along.
Well, hey!
Welcome back to Community Connections. I'm talking to Frank, and he's with the Historic Commercial Vehicle Club. Now, Frank, you were starting to tell us quite a bit about what's going to happen on Sunday week. I guess, what time does it open and what time does it shut?
We open to the public at 9 o'clock, so it's $10 entry. Kids 12 and under are free.
I was going to ask you that.
Yep, and we'll go through till probably about 3 o'clock. Some vehicles will start leaving about 2:30. So there's plenty of time to have a good look around.
Yep.
As well as the trucks and the Vauxhalls, we jointly run the event these days with the Chrysler Restorers Club, and they'll have probably 100 or so cars there.
Yep.
And if you don't have to be in the club, if you've got a Chrysler or if you've got a Dodge, anything in the Chrysler family, you're welcome to come down.
Leanne, you should hear that. We've got a listener. I don't know if you've ever heard the song from Cal Kennedy, and it's called The Dodge Ute.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we know Cal, yep. and we know his mum.
Okay.
So it'd be good.
So come out. We give out plenty of prizes for best cars, and we have one especially for commercial vehicles. So if you've got a little commercial vehicle, bring it out.
Yep.
And if you're a Chrysler cousin, so Ramblers or the Roots Group or that sort of thing, yep. Come along. We'll have a special spot for you guys as well.
So I guess, first of all, I've got to take another break in a few minutes, but first of all, if we've got listeners today listening and they think, I want to take my vehicle out, how are they going to get hold of you, Frank? Where do they log in?
Oh, they just don't. There's no bookings for it. They just come up at any time before 9 o'clock. We'll stop allowing cars to come through around 9:30, because we don't want too much traffic while we've got the public there.
Yep.
And but if they get there any time between 7 and 9 in the morning, we'll stick them in a spot and they can just have a picnic or...
Is there a cost for the person bringing the car or the truck?
No, at this stage we don't charge for anybody who's displaying.
Yep.
And the driver gets in for nothing as well.
Sounds good. So let's just run through the things that you've got. You said face painting, obviously food vans.
Yeah, there's a couple of food vans, but coffee van, and I think we're getting a pizza van in. But Yarra Glen Racecourse opens up their whole kitchen. So there's
do they?
Yeah, they open up their kitchen, so we've got all of that to call on for food.
Yep.
So they've got a coffee bar, and they've got Bay Marie's, and they do all the chips and the hot dogs and the whole shoot and match.
So even
there's indoor eating area as well if it's hot or a bit drizzly.
Yep. And the mums and the kids can do plenty of stuff apart from looking at the cars and trucks, can't they?
Well, there is, yeah. We try and do it that way so that it's a family day rather than just a lot of bunch of old overweight truckies standing around. Yeah, yeah.
You've just hit one. Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt, but you've hit one point. Out of the people that are showing the trucks, how many of them were actually truckies, or is there a bigger portion of people who just like trucks that have bought them, or would you say more of them have been actually truckies?
I reckon it'd be probably 70 or 80% have been truck drivers in their life, and then there's 20% which are like me, foolish, and gone out and spent money on trucks afterwards.
Yeah. The other thing is too, with these truckies, have you got anyone who's bought their final truck or a truck that they did own?
Absolutely, yeah. There's quite a number of people who do that. They'll keep one truck that they've owned that has special meaning. There's one gentleman who comes, Frank Latore, and he comes up in an old Foden all the way from Shepparton each year.
Fair to have.
Yeah, and it's as slow as the second coming across. I think it probably does about 45 mile an hour on the freeway. And but Frank turns up every year, and you know, and he comes to our show, and he goes all over the country with that old Foden.
And it was a truck he had.
It was a truck he owned. It was a truck out of his fleet, and he's restored it, and it is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, stupid slut. All right, I'll take one quick break and we'll be back with more. Have your paper and pencil ready and Frank will tell you exactly where to come and where to be.
Now for years I've pushed the semis through the fire and dust and mud. Now I've got to keep them rolling
truckin's in my blood. Now it fairly tears me wide apart to hear you fellas cry when you have to leave the bitumen or your petrol's running dry. And maybe walk a mile or two to find a can of juice. All your chrome work's getting tarnished or your hubcaps coming loose. I had a motor clapped at Cohen and then got trapped at Bowen by the scalies at the roadside with a 10-ton overload. I blew a tire at Scoresby, sank in the mire at Moresby when the big wet came in early and washed away the road. Then I rolled a Mac at Lara, then I got the sack at Tara, trying to cross the Mooney, she was 10 feet deep in flood. I did a diff at Rockvale, got frozen stiff at Stockdale, but I got a keepin' rollin' made for truckin's in my blood. Now for years I've pushed the semis through the fire and dust and mud. Now I've got a keepin' rollin' made for truckin's in my blood. Get you down and your petrol's going up, and your latest buggy makes you feel that you've been sold a pup. Give a thought to the poor old truckie with horizons for a home. His pulse, the throb of his motor's beat, his creed, the call to roam. Now I lost my load at Junder, then I left the road at Nunder. I swerved to miss a hippie who was trying to thumb a ride. I ran off the range at Nebo, was feeling strange at Bebo, from taking yippie beans that kept my eyelids open wide. I had a brake line bust at Coomera, nearly died of thirst at Woomera, sitting by the roadside with a busted axle stud. I had a windscreen smashed at Cara, nearly rolled the truck at Nara, but I gotta keep 'em rolling, mate, for truckin's in my blood. I've been hitched and ditched and tossed and lost, flogged and bogged and thumped and bumped, bitten, hit and shorn and worn and stopped and cocked, but as sure as you're born, mate, oh, truckin's in my blood, yeah, truckin's in my blood, truckin's in my blood. Truckin's in my blood. Oh, that's right. Truckin's in my blood.
That was Slim Dusty, believe it or not, but that was out of 1992, so he certainly kept recording there for a long while. Now, we need to get down to it. We're fast running out of time. Frank, as I said, is from the Historic Commercial Vehicle Club. They've got their big day coming up on the 9th of November, which is Sunday week. So, Frank, try and convince us now why we should come and see you at the
club.
Well,
you should come along because it's a great day. You'll get to see some really unique vehicles. You'll get to see some old buses that you went to school in. You'll get to see some old trucks that tried to run you over 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Now, you mentioned school buses. A lot of school buses in the early days were Bedfords, weren't they?
Absolutely. There was heaps of them. Yeah, there was a lot of Bedfords. Bedfords carried Australia, I reckon, back in the day. In my past life, I used to work for a bus company, and we used to have Bedfords that used to do Central Australian tours back in the day.
Gee, that'd be a tough
gig. That'd be a tough gig, wouldn't it?
A tough gig, yeah. Wouldn't it?
Yeah, 466 Bedford diesels, and off you go to Central Australia. No air conditioning. They had blow-through vents, and that's it.
And they wouldn't have any power steering or anything, would
they? No power steering. Well, they might have had power steering, but unlikely. They would have been camping in tents, and the tents would either have been in a trailer or up on the roof on a roof rack. So it would be the driver and a cook, and the cook would be the bloke who would pack up the tents and load them onto the roof. And yeah, it would have been an interesting
trip.
Yeah, it would have been. Yeah,
Frank, just one off the subject, just for half a second. So did those buses get imported as a bus, those Bedfords?
No, did they put it? The chassis would have been imported.
Yep.
And the bodies were built out here by Commonwealth Aircraft Corporation.
Really?
Most of them, yeah. Well, there were other companies as well, but most of them were Comairs. That's where Comair come from, the name.
Oh, was it?
Commonwealth Aircraft Corporation.
Sorry, I sidetracked you, but I can remember seeing heaps of those Bedford buses around.
Yeah, yeah. I cut my teeth on an SB Bedford with a crash box back in the day when I started driving buses in 1987. They were still on the road.
Gee.
And they were an early 60s bus.
Yeah, because a lot of them, like I know the bus, I saw a bus the other day and it was at Frankston and it had the airport on it, Tullamarine. So a lot of these bus routes now are, like they go a long way, these buses, whereas I can remember down where I lived, it probably went 15 k's from one end of his route down the other end and they just kept going backwards and forwards all day.
Yeah, that's right. It was all small private operators, you know, they might have half a dozen buses and that's all, and they made a business out of that.
Yeah.
And again, a lot of those were started post-war with lend-lease vehicles. They would have taken old trucks, old Fords and old Chevs, Maple Leafs and things like that, put a body on them, what they used to call an austerity body, built out of timber and plywood, or timber and masonite.
Yep.
Some sash windows and perimeter seating, and off you go. You start a bus route. Yeah.
And of course, every now and again on Facebook, you see, like I know now you've got your major big ones, your big trucking companies, but there were heaps of guys that owned three or four or five trucks, weren't there, going back, you know, in the 50s and 60s?
Oh, absolutely. It was a good way to start a business. It was a cheap way to get into a business.
Yeah.
You can't compete these days if you try and do it.
Yep.
There are still a few with half a dozen trucks, but most of them get gobbled up, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right. So now, convince us why we should come.
Okay. So Sunday.
9th of...
Be there or be square, as they say. 9 o'clock, we open the gates.
Yep.
Be there till about 2:30. Bring the kids along. Have a listen to the music. Go to the petting zoo.
Oh, you got a petting zoo?
We got a petting zoo. We got the face painting. We'll have the toucher truck for the kids for a couple of hours. We'll also have the SES doing a demonstration. And there'll be all the weird and wonderful vehicles that you remember from your past but can't see. And if you've got an early model Valiant or an early model Dodge or Chrysler, just bring it along. We'll find a spot for you. You might be in the running for a prize.
Yep.
And, it should be a great day.
How many vehicles are you hoping to get, Frank?
Oh, we hope to get 300 or 400 vehicles, yeah.
That's not bad, is it?
No.
Plenty there to keep people. Yep. And there's plenty of room up there too, isn't there?
There is. And Yarra Glen's a great spot. I mean, it's got nice shade trees all over the place. There's we'll have a few stalls. I think a friend, they come along most years. We'll have raffle tickets for sale if somebody wants to buy a raffle ticket for a nice big tool chest.
Yep.
What else? Well, no, not much. Not much more, really, that I can add to that.
Well, that's fair enough, too. Yeah. So it's the 9th
It's a big day. It's a full day.
It's the 9th of November.
Yep.
And the cost, you said, was?
$10.
$10
a person to get in. 12 years and younger, free.
Yep.
And it's the entry is off Armstrong Road in Yarra Glen there.
Now, do you have a website if anybody wants to look it up?
We have a Facebook page and a website. But, yeah, so have a look at the HCVCA.
So is it the full
page.
Word,
HCVCA, yeah.
HCVCA.
Yep.
So look that up on Facebook.
Yep, and you'll get all the details. There's a flyer on there.
Yep.
There'll be banners and posters going up around the local streets as well this week. So
and it's a good, it's a nice little drive if you live down Lilydale or anywhere in the Yarra Valley, just to go up there to Yarra Glen. It's a nice little drive.
Yeah, it's only a 20-minute drive. Come down Victoria Road and out past the airport, or come out through Coldstream.
Yep.
It's a lovely drive, yep.
Yep, so, and all you're doing is hoping for good weather.
Oh, we're always hoping for good weather. We don't want it too hot. We don't want it too cold. We certainly don't want it raining. We've been washed out a couple of years.
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
And because the guys don't want to bring their cars and trucks out in the rain, do they?
They're bloody big sooks, aren't they? Yeah, trying to convince them that they were built to be, you know, waterproof.
Well, I guess too, when you look at it, like these trucks, you couldn't knock off just because the rain came, could you?
They just kept working. Of course. And if you had a 60s Valiant or something, you didn't not go to work in the morning in it because it was wet, did you?
No.
You just turned the wipers on.
A lot of the guys these days don't want to take them out in the cold and wet, do they?
There were so many stories I could go with that.
Perhaps we'd better not.
I'll get in trouble, yeah.
And you might not have too many people turn up on the day.
No, we'll get a good turnout, but the more the merrier. So if anybody doesn't know it's on, or now they've heard about it and they've got like to bring their car out, I'm sure we can accommodate you. Yep. And if you've got a truck particularly, because it is the historic commercial vehicle event, please bring your little truck out, big truck out, whatever. We'll find a spot for you.
Sounds great, Frank. I hope it's a real success. Thank you for coming in today and telling us about it. And hopefully it's on every 2 years, did you say?
No, this is on every year.
It's on every year?
Yeah, the two-yearly event was Hall and the Hume.
Oh, right. So anybody, we'll try and get you back next year and we'll talk about it again and tell us what a success it was.
Good on you, mate. Thank you very much, Alan.
It's a really terrific day for you.